We sit glued to the TV set all night
and every night.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of...
Hello, and welcome to TV Times 3, episode number 117. I am Amory from MyTakeOnTV.com.
I am Jason the TVaholic from TVaholic.com.
And I am Ray from RayLee.com.
Welcome, Ray. Hello. Welcome.
Thank you.
So, yeah. How's everybody? We already discussed how everybody was, but now that we're recording, I feel like we need to say it again.
Did we discuss it?
I don't know if we did or not. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, my head hurts. It's unrelated, but my head hurts a little bit. And I don't know why.
Unrelated to the podcasting or unrelated to the cake baking?
Unrelated to pretty much everything, as is the huge. My house looks like a Christmas, like, wrapping center blew up in my living room because there's just, like, there's actually little pieces of wrapping paper everywhere because I was wrapping and I just kind of cut and then wipe it all up later, but I didn't have time to do that today.
Sounds like you need a portable wrapping station.
I do. Believe me, when I buy my house, I am installing a closet that's like a wrapping space.
That's not portable.
Oh, I'll make a portable little version that portable pieces can go in. So, yeah, not much going on today.
So that you can have Cam over for some express Christmas.
Yes.
Oh.
All right. Not much news, but in sad news, because I'm very sad about this. ABC has pulled Man Up with 5 episodes left to air and ordered an additional episode of Castle, bringing it up to 23 episodes for the season. I'm not sad about Castle. I'm sad about Man Up because I and Dan Fogler are the only two people in the world that have been watching his show, and I love it.
That could explain the pulling.
It does. It completely explains it. But I really enjoyed it, and I thought the cast was getting better every episode, and that's about it.
I enjoyed it as well.
There you go. Three people. Me and Dan and Ray have been watching it. But see, I think that it got a bad rap because people are very, I don't know, it's no work it. Say that.
Well, see, that's the thing is you may get it.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. What is that?
It was the water. I'm sorry.
Are you washing dishes?
I was going to say,
I knocked
are you,
it with my hand. I'm sorry.
Are you frying bacon or?
Oh, incidentally, this is unrelated, but this brings me to an interesting.
Unrelated to bacon or unrelated to the podcast or unrelated to water?
Bacon. It's related to bacon and water running. So I went on like a house hunt yesterday because I'm house hunting. Not for HGTV, just for my own purposes. And I went to this one house and the rooms. Huh?
Did you film it?
I didn't film it. That would have been fun. The house like had great sized rooms and stuff, bedrooms, living room, dining room. We walked into the kitchen. It was literally, the floor space was the size of the interior of my 2010 Kia Rio.
Well,
you could stand and fry your bacon while you wash your dishes and, like, not move. It was horrible. Anyway, that made me remember that.
It was both water and bacon related. That was impressive.
It was. And I kind of made it TV related by including HGTV in there. Castle, I mean, I don't care if there's an extra episode. If they take episodes away, they're all the same to me. It doesn't matter. I watch it. I don't care.
Yeah, well, I think with once Work It gets in there, you know, Man Up could be back. Like, lickety-split, man.
Like, right away. ABC's going to be like, hey, sorry, guys, your show was funny and Work It sucks. ABC, incidentally, has this unrelated to Man Up, but ABC has put all episodes this far of Revenge and Once Upon a Time online at ABC.com until January 3rd and 7th, respectively, giving potential new viewers the chance to catch up. Were they not online before, or were there, like, only 5 episodes or something?
After every episode.
Oh, okay.
They're usually on a last 4 or last 5 rotating basis, so by the time tonight's episode of Once Upon a Time airs, they'll have like the 7 or so eps of all of them, giving you a chance to both shows that you should check out if you haven't already.
I would obviously support one more than the other, but I still like, I'm watching both of them. So that's our news. I'm sure there was other news. Can't imagine what it was, though, so unimportant. It was a slow news week because we're getting into the hiatus time, so that's happening. And
does it count as news that Chuck wrapped?
Sad news.
It can. It could count as news that Chuck wrapped. It's not a surprise. We knew it was ending. but
I mean, this week it wrapped this week, so
it wrapped this week. So Chuck is over.
Well, it's not over yet. The filming is over.
No more filming of the show. They're done.
All right.
All right.
Thanks for bringing us down, Ray.
So we don't have DVD this week. Let me be honest. I didn't actually look and see what was coming out. So maybe there's something that I watched and nobody else watches, because there's a lot of crap that I watch, like Man Up, that nobody else does.
So no Wretched Beast Season 8.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing about the Wretched Beast Season 8. When I go to Target and they have like big sales and there's like $9.99 DVDs, I don't know. I guess for Christmas or something a couple years ago, I got like seasons 1, 2, and 3 of One Tree Hill, The Wretched Beast. So now, like, I like to have complete sets. So now I feel like I have to have them.
Amory.
But I would never buy them. Wait, what day are we talking about? The 20th? I just want to make sure, because the 27th is Archer, and I was like, I would absolutely recommend Archer. But no, the 20th is just The Wretched Beast and Futurama, which I've never watched and don't care to. So don't try and get me to change my mind, people out there. Maybe this hyperactivity that I'm going through right now is because I had eaten like half of the icing that I put on Brains' cake, because it was just getting everywhere. So rather than just like, you know, so that's how I am. That's what was happening. So that's exciting.
Everyone's like, what the hell is she talking about? Because that was talked about before we started recording.
I made a cake today, everybody. Okay.
Funfetti.
Okay. Funfetti with confetti icing. Okay, prime time is what we're jumping right into, because like I said, there's nothing else really to talk about.
That hasn't stopped us yet.
Why are we putting Psych before Sons of Anarchy?
Well, I can, but...
You shut your mouth right now. So we are. They're not both on Tuesdays. Psych is on Wednesdays.
We're talking about Sons of Anarchy.
We're talking about Sons of Anarchy. It's on Tuesdays. Season 4, episode 14, 2B, comma, act 2. I'll be honest. I liked it. It's fine. Like, I love the show. But it was not nearly as exciting as part 1 was. It was a little tense. Like, who's going to die? Who's going to show up? What's going to happen? But it wrapped a really good season, so I'm excited for what's coming next.
It almost felt...
Boring?
Well, it almost felt like a little bit of a letdown, considering how the season had ramped up the whole way. But there was almost like no other way to go. The other thing that it felt like was that it really should have just been part of it all played on one episode. Like, even if it was an extended episode or even if you played it all, there didn't seem to be enough. Because especially like the last little bit of it with the, you know, the music montage, while that was getting you to that, which was a really cool last scene, it all felt like a little bit too extended. Like, well, we've got an extra episode and we need to fill out 40-something minutes.
They didn't need that.
Could have shrunk that a little bit and maybe a few other parts, and it could have been a 90-minute or, you know, maybe a little bit longer complete episode, instead of turning it into playing it over 2 weeks. And
exactly,
felt a little padded to extend it out.
Yes.
You know, it was still good, but in that respect, I was like, okay, that's it. That's the end of it. It's sort of, but then where else could you have gone, considering, because, I mean, really, episode 12 was almost like a big cliffhanger sort of ending, like when Opie shoots Clay.
Right. I loved it. But the finale was just like you said. It could have been chopped in half and made it a 90 episode instead of a 2-hour episode. So, still looking forward to season 5, but it'll be fun.
It leaves things in an interesting place to go into season 5. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, you watch it like on DVD or something like that at another time or whatever, and you'll just watch those right together and it won't seem as nearly as... But what did you think of the sort of the CIA twist and stuff like that?
I didn't mind it. I was surprised by it, and I didn't think it was a cop-out. I think it was a smart story. It opened a bunch of stories versus everybody else being like, he needed that extra episode because you remember he got episode 14 like midway through the season. So they're like, oh, he got episode 14 so that he could put this in there and reset everything, and then they're not going to be able to, you know, they're not going to face any consequences. But I think having the CIA involved is going to give them some consequences. But anyway, so Sons of Anarchy, we're going to keep watching. We love it, and that's that. Moving on to Psych. Season 6, episode 8 and 9, The Tao of Gus, The Tao, is that Tao? Tao? I don't know how it's pronounced. And Neil Simon's Lover's Retreat, which is the mid-season finale, which will air after we're recording, but before this is out, so everybody will have, we have seen it, you'll have seen it by the time this is aired. So, I already forget what last, this current week episode was.
You already forgot what the Tao of Gus was?
Yeah. Oh, the cults. I do like anytime I get to see Diedrich Bader, because that guy cracks me up. Yes, I was a huge Drew Carey Show fan.
You mean you weren't a fan of, wow, I can't even think of the name of it.
I don't know where you're going with this. Whose line is it anyway? Because yes.
The show that got canceled off of NBC last year about the outsourced.
Oh, God, no. No. God, no. God, I was not a fan of that show. I'm like, God, no. Anyway.
So bad that I had...
You got that kind of visceral reaction
to
me.
I had completely forgotten about what the title was to be able to even pull off the joke.
Okay, so Psych, they go to a cult, basically, and Gus is immediately a part of the cult.
Because he likes a girl.
Because he likes a girl, because he always likes a girl. Because that's all Gus is used for anymore, to like girls. I don't know, I don't really understand it. Well, I mean, I don't really understand, like...
Why Gus likes girls?
It was okay, no. Like, it was an okay episode, but I don't know, I didn't love it.
I didn't love it.
I don't know. I didn't hate it by any means, but I didn't, like... Versus, compared to the finale, like... Ray pointed out we were talking and kind of watching it in the same hour kind of segment, and she's like, yeah, I've already laughed like 100 times more, and she had literally like just started watching it in the finale than she did in this current week's episode. So it was a rare miss for them. So,
well, this season anyway.
This season anyway, yes.
Because this season's been really great, but that episode just was, of this season, that episode is probably my least favorite. I didn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not that I disliked it, I just didn't think it was that great.
Yeah, just a little bit of a drop-off so that you could get an extra big uptick for the how great the mid-season finale was.
Right.
If we want to watch that theory, sure.
So, I mean, it was okay, whatever, but...
I can't think of any, like...
Yeah, I...
Moment. I guess the thing with Sean when the girl is saying, whatever, she pictured him in her dream naked... And he's like, this is awkward. That moment probably for me was the...
I can't even remember, like, anything funny from it. I'm sure there was a couple things, you know, but, like...
There was some funny stuff in the episode, but overall, it didn't really, like, use Diedrich Bader, like, all that much.
Yeah, because they have been really good at using their guest stars well, parentheses, in this next week's episode, because I love Jennifer Finnegan so much. I don't know, it just... it not even worth, like... dwelling alone because I don't even remember what happened to them. But love, Neil Simon's Lover's Retreat, the finale. It's just like mile a minute humor done well, not for the sake of being funny. And it puts some groups of people together that, like, yes, we get to see Gus and Sean all together, and we get to see Juliet interact with them and Lasseter interact with them. But I love Henry and Lasseter. And Gus, like, growing out in a grocery store of all places, and then just becoming, like, best friends. Like, unwilling friends, which I thought was hysterical.
Oh, my God. You just reminded me of the, why are you gazing into each other's eyes?
Oh, my God. Waffles. What was it? Reading each other. Read my mind. Waffles.
Yeah. You can waffles, still waffles.
Damn it. So funny. So good.
But how great was that? Just that whole scene of him, like, sending Sean off with Juliet, and then as they...
All by myself.
The music All By Myself comes up.
Love it.
Oh, it was so good.
I get the sense, I don't know, I kind of called the whole, there's a ring in the DS in my head. So it was a nice payoff, but I kind of get the feeling that Gus is the one who's more commitment-phobic than Sean is about this whole thing. Like, why did he have that concerned look on his face when he found it at the end of the episode?
Well, he sees...
Maybe because he didn't tell him?
He hadn't had a chance to tell him yet, but he has that look on his face because he's seen the changes in Sean and that their relationship is going to change, and he doesn't, as he says, I can't remember whether it was in this episode or the previous one, he wants somebody in his life, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's just that realization that it's gotten really serious on Sean's part on a... That was one of those, you know, you had the idea the whole time that that that's kind of why he wanted to talk to Gus throughout the episode.
All right.
But I thought that the use of the DS as sort of the ring carrier and then him losing it, I thought that worked really well because Sean would also actually really be upset. You know,
yeah, he totally would. I would be, especially if I had Mario Kart 7, which looks amazing.
To everybody else, it might seem like, why, it's just a DS, you know, big deal. But to him, it feel that it was a big deal that he lost that, not just because of what the ring is. So I thought they used that well in the episode. I thought they did a lot of things really well in the episode. Like
Jason Priestley and Jennifer Finnegan were hysterical. I love them.
I didn't even recognize Jason. I mean, I knew who it was. I didn't really...
I'm sorry, how do you not recognize Brandon Walsh?
I just... with the beard.
Really? Are you one of those people who believe that Superman and Clark Kent are two different people?
But I also thought it worked really well. They were really good, but also having Tony Hale...
Oh my god, Tony Hale, I love Tony Hale.
That I thought it worked well in that, for a little bit, you weren't sure who necessarily was going to be the, you know, the ultimate bad guy type of thing. I mean, you obviously knew that Jason Priestley and Jennifer Finnegan were not on the up and up from the opening scene.
Right.
But when there's a, you know, a murder takes place, you're not sure necessarily who's going to be. So having multiple guest stars sort of for a little bit lets you be not sure. Because, you know, we talk about all the time how when you have, like, one guest star onto...
Yeah, you know that they're the killer immediately.
Like, they're pretty much the bad guy a lot of the times. And so I thought that worked really well. I also like that they kind of showed that Jason Priestley's character was sort of like Sean, but sort of like the anti-Sean. He was spotting things like, you know, the guy's watch and different things, but he used his sort of ability to read people and spot things to take advantage of them instead of pretend he's a psychic and solve crimes.
I mean, so the next season has to be about Juliet, like, officially knowing that he's not a psychic. Like, if he's ready to make that commitment, he needs to start, like, telling her, right? So that should happen soon. I don't know. I just love the finale so much, and I want people to see it because I really did, like, laugh out loud consistently through the episode.
Yeah.
So good.
Well, the whole other side with...
Oh my god, Arden Mirren, too. She does not get enough credit, but she's always playing a crazy person, and she just does it so well. I love her. When she showed up at the house and ate, like, 12 pounds of ribs and then suggested they go rollerblading, oh my god. Hysterical.
Oh, Henry.
That whole thing, you knew in the bar scene when they come up with the gentleman's wager of who can get digit, you knew Henry.
Oh, of course, you knew it was going to be Henry.
Henry was the one, but then what they turned that into of... him getting the digits of the crazy girl that's into older guys was really funny. But just them together, like, you don't...
Yeah. Oh, my God. That was great. Them shopping together was fantastic. And, of course, Gus was there getting, like, what did he get? The discount on toilet paper?
Like, scented candles and...
Oh, something like that. Oh, so good.
Lassiter had gotten, like, every light bulb in the place.
Oh, that's... Yeah, because there was a discount on light bulbs. There was, like, a sale. Very good stuff, and that's about it. So that's, like, keep watching.
I think that worked really well as a mid-season finale, too.
Yeah.
Since they're having a break. I just wish there wasn't a break.
Right. Yes, I agree. So, now we're going to talk a little Thursday TV. Parks and Recreation, Season 4, Episode 10, Citizen Nope. Man, did I cry at the end of this episode. I mean, I didn't, like, bawl. I was completely caught off guard by how much I was crying when they told her that they would be her, like, committee to get her elected. Oh, my God. It was amazing. And I loved when she was talking to Chris and, like, I'll see you in hell. And then she gives him a Christmas present. Like, just
that's perfect.
Amazing. Amazing. Her and her Christmas presents. Jerry, socks. She just gets me when clearly she had only gotten them socks because everybody hates Jerry or Gary or whatever his name is. Ugh, so good.
But right after they'd just shown April's gift being a giant painting of her as like a Xena warrior princess.
Yeah, killing the black eyed peas.
Taking out the black eyed peas.
Yeah. Just very, very good. So I think that the show. I know Ray would disagree with me, but I think the show can do no wrong. And I like that they've gone back to, like, depressed, super, like, super ridiculous Ben who just kept saying, when I resigned with dignity or with whatever, when I resigned, what did he say? When I resigned with...
In disgrace, not with dignity.
When I resigned in disgrace and he kept saying it 100 times. Like, it's so funny. And I like playing, like, I like him being the sad sack and, like, Leslie's, you know, that they're in a good place. So I just love the show.
Leslie, like, in the interview, maybe not mention the resigned in disgrace.
Always good to see John Ralphio, because he's like my favorite person ever. And Dennis Feinstein. Love him. With sense like allergic. And, oh my God, he's just amazing.
I love Ben at the accounting job that was to be the accountant for the accountants.
Oh, calculator.
and like, he's just like everything that he says.
It's just so dumb, but the guy's
it's
laughing.
It's dumb, and he's kind of nervous, but the accountant guy just thinks it's the funniest thing ever.
Yeah.
What is he like, Bill, come in here. Tell
that to Bill. Whatever. So good.
But yeah. Another good episode right on top of the last one that had, you know, a lot of heart behind
it. Yeah, I mean, the show does that really, really well.
The comedy.
They do the heart and comedy, so.
Stuff like Ron not being able to build a gingerbread house, but Andy is just like, I play with food all the time, so
yes.
He just starts putting it together, and then April making the marshmallow Ron Swanson with his arms folded, she's pretty good at knowing what Ron likes as well, but I liked it, also really liked at the end with Leslie, where she was like, I see gift buying
as a competition. I love it. So good.
And I usually win, but this year I got my ass handed to me.
Yeah, very good. Very good. So that was really, really good. Talking about The Office, Season 8, Episode 10, Christmas Wishes.
Wish it was better.
I didn't hate it. Thought it was fine.
I didn't hate it. There was some stuff in it that was okay. I always like episodes that have Jim and Dwight, you know, pranking each other, even though this was sort of like the reverse pranking where they were trying to set each other up to prank the other one so that...
Right.
With the Andy's, I'm going to give the bonus to whoever can go without.
Right.
Pranking. But I just thought it was super dumb. Like, they just introduce Robert California's wife so that in the very next episode, they can send him in as the sad sack that's getting divorced.
Well, it wasn't a surprise when she asked Andy on a date.
Well, you could see that they obviously, they had a weird relationship or something like that, and that they were both really odd, but still, it was just they introduce his wife in one episode just to be able to have him be sort of the sad guy at the office party. It was sort of weird.
Ray, do you watch it anymore?
I do.
Did you watch this week?
I guess.
And what did you think?
It's on sometimes in the background.
I don't record it anymore, but
okay.
I did watch this episode. Whatever. Didn't really do anything for me.
All right. That's okay. It happens.
Miss Pam.
You know what I was thinking, though? I didn't at all miss Pam. Okay. I was actually thinking that, and I don't know why. I mean, I don't have anything against Jenna Fisher. I think she's fantastic. But I do like when Pam and Jim gang up on Dwight, so maybe I would have missed that. But it wasn't until about, like, 20 minutes into the episode that I realized that she was not even there.
Until he said it, but he said it in, I don't remember when. Jim says it in a meeting, or he says it somewhere.
Well,
I don't remember.
It was because the temp was the one that was complaining about them pranking each other all the time, even though Andy was trying to tell them that there had been a complaint without saying who it was,
but
there was only one other person in their clump of deaths.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's whatever. I'm watching it. I'm not hating it with vitriol like a lot of people are, because it's not that bad. But whatever, I also don't worship Community, so whatever. Community's episode, holiday episode, sucked. I'm sorry. It was terrible. I know we're not talking about it, but I hated it.
We could talk
anyway,
about it.
Anyway. No, because... Wait, Ray, do you watch Community? You don't watch it, right?
I watched it.
What did you think?
I know
you don't like it.
Yeah, I didn't think it was very good either.
Yeah.
I was just
Go ahead.
No, I mean, it's just, like, because the fans are like, oh my God, it was so good. And I was like, really? Are we watching?
I know. I'm like, what are we watching? Am I watching a different show? Is this, like, Huge all over again? Are they putting out two different episodes and they're sending one to my cable box and one to everybody else's? I'm one of the 12 other people that watch it, and that's why it was pulled off the schedule.
In general, I thought the whole making fun of Glee was fine. Like, I have no...
Yeah.
Whatever. But it just, like, it was too much. I don't know.
Yeah,
there was something, like, the setup of it a little bit was... of, you know, sort of making fun of the Glee Club or whatever was good, but it almost went, like, super dark.
That's what the show's been doing. It keeps going super dark, super creepy, and it's not funny.
Yeah, it went kind of dark and creepy, but it was also, comes off of, like you said, like, nowadays, you know, with Twitter and stuff like that, you just see, like, oh, such a great episode and all this stuff, and so you kind of have this idea. You know, especially you see certain people where you tend to agree a lot of the times, you know, or whatever. And so you see something, you know, this is a great episode. And then when you tune in and you're like expecting this great episode.
Right.
And then you haven't laughed a whole lot. And then it's this weird thing that goes all the way to, you know, maybe the previous Glee Club was murdered or whatever.
Yes. Like, yes. It went there.
Was really strange. And, the small little things in the episode.
This is what I thought when I watched the episode. My exact thought was, this is why this show is going on hiatus indefinitely. I'm sorry, people, but it's true. Like, it's just not... Like, I'm glad that so many people liked it. I'm glad that they liked it. But they should recognize that it's episodes like that, which is why it doesn't have a large following. So... I'm sorry, you're just not going to get a lot of people who are going to watch that and understand, get it.
Right, right,
so
exactly.
So don't be surprised that it's going away for whenever.
Ever. Forever.
Yeah, I think they can be super clever, and then they can be...
To a fault.
Too clever.
Yeah.
Where they just try and go, instead of over the line, they clear the line by so much that they almost can't see the line, and that it completely goes to the other side. And you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Then I watched Parks and Rec, and in comparison, it was so good.
Right. So there's that. We weren't going to talk about it, but we talked about it a little bit. We didn't love it like everybody else seems to have loved it, and we don't understand why. So, moving on to our last show in prime time, Chuck. Chuck versus the Hack Off, Season 5, Episode 5. I saw someone say something online, you know. My crackpot investigating. I saw someone say something that they didn't like this show, like they didn't like this season. And I think it's been perfectly enjoyable.
I have liked the character stuff this season. Mm-hmm. I found the cases or the week to week stuff, like that kind of surrounds the character stuff, to be kind of boring, which is why it takes me a little longer to watch the episode. I mean, I still love the show, but I don't. On Friday nights, I don't turn it on at 8 o'clock, which I'm not a big Friday night TV person anyway, but, you know, for Chuck, I would think I would be that way, but...
Right. Right. I mean, that kind of says something because you are such a huge Chuck fan, like, to not have...
Well, it's kind of like what I mentioned in talking about the previous episode was that I think the fans or the viewers, we need to know more about what's going on. It almost seems like there's been too much held back as to what this Decker thing is and what they've gotten involved in.
Now we're not going to get anything more because Decker's gone. Like,
that was the other thing, is like it got rid of Decker really quick, but Decker is part of something bigger.
Yeah, I guess.
Apparently. And that's going to be the driving force continued on, is to figure out but it just seems like there's, it's a little disjointed. Like, you're not quite sure how he can be how he can do all these things. And then they just dispatch with the character at the end of this episode.
My example would be, like, the stuff, the talk. Well, one, I, for some reason, I thought What's-Her-Face was dead, which is probably just my own, like...
Not wait, who? Attention. Gertrude?
But I was like, yeah, like, the whatever her name is. Yes, Gertrude, I guess. For some reason, I thought she was killed. Whatever. And I was like, okay. But anyway, the whole discussion, like, her discussing about... I don't know why in the world is she thought getting together with Casey would end up with her leaving the spy world? Because, come on, it's Casey. But but even still, like, that whole discussion they had about having to leave the spy world. One, I'm like, I don't understand. Like, you're in the spy world and married, so why do you think that that's going to happen, right? But also, like, that seemed to come out of nowhere for me. You know what I mean? I was like, have I missed where they were setting this conversation up? And then, but then I felt like the episode itself... like the conversations they had maybe is leading to however they plan to end the season.
Oh, it has to be.
Like the status of them as they end the season, you know what I mean? But I felt like they hadn't really done a good job of setting that up through the other episodes. I would say I would agree that there maybe is not enough information for us, which is kind of weird because you'd think it would be so... They knew how many episodes they had. You'd think they'd be a little bit better at getting that information. Just tell us up front. It's okay if we know. We don't need a mystery this season.
Each episode kind of has its own little... This is Sarah's sort of growth year, character-wise, where they sort of focus in on something that she may be thinking about or whatever. And so she's sort of been thinking about what her future is, what her life is going to be like now that they're together and stuff like that. And so that's where that sort of comes out of, is just to give...
Yeah, I guess I don't see that. I haven't seen that this is any more Sarah's year than any other year, because Sarah has gone through that every time, like, to decide whether she wanted to be with him and to decide whether she wanted to marry him. You know what I mean? Like, she kind of had those same thoughts. I guess that's where I was like, it seems like a retread, because they're already married. They're continuing the spy life, so why are we having a discussion about could you survive without the spy life? That seemed to come out of nowhere.
Right. Like, yeah.
They're in the spy life, so what are you talking about?
I think it fit with what I think that they're doing this year, but I think it also kind of came out of nowhere where each episode is sort of like that. Like, the previous one was her wishing she had a friend, which was kind of weird, but it was all for her to realize that Ellie and everybody else are her friends, you know, that she does have friends.
Right.
And so while it kind of comes out of nowhere, but then it gives you sort of closure on that inside the episode. This is the story that we're focusing on. I think it doesn't really make sense, like you said, for like Verbansky to be, I mean, she may think about that, but if she's thinking about that with John, like, that doesn't really make sense. But I think it was all so that they could bring up this conversation so that
absolutely
Sarah would
she's
think
having
about it.
Second guesses so that they can
well,
make
I understand
Sarah
why
think
they
about
brought
it.
It up.
Yeah, no, I get it too.
But then Chuck's thinking about it on the other side too, you know, like
yeah, absolutely. I agree with you, Ray. It's totally.
Like,
they
could have done better is what I'm saying. They don't need to bring it up that way. That's
yeah,
all.
Yeah, exactly. Because any true fan is like, Casey won't leave the spy life no matter what. So, I mean, he's willing to rot in prison because the like justice system put him there. Like, he's a man who's going to do whatever he needs to, not stop
maybe
spying.
Maybe they were saying that Verbansky feels, but I don't, she was working for the...
Yeah.
Government, so it doesn't really make sense either. Like, maybe she was thinking, oh, I would have to leave because I would be possibly up again. You know what I mean? Like, I'd possibly be doing things that Casey didn't approve of.
Oh, maybe.
If that's what they meant, they didn't do a good job of of getting that across. I'm just saying.
Now?
I just feel like it's been done clumsily and these writers...
She would have to stop spying because she's not... She doesn't always follow the letter of the justice system, which Casey tries to do. If they were trying that, that was clumsy too. I have no idea if they you know, they succeeded there. But I don't know. I'm obviously going to watch the end. It's not a situation where I'm going to like just stop watching because I have.
No.
I'm done.
Yeah.
Eight episodes to go and I'm done.
I've just had enough.
I'm the person who's like, I'm happy that it's on Christmas Eve because I like to have something to watch on Christmas Eve. Everybody else is like, oh my God, I can't believe it's on Christmas Eve. Really?
Oh, I don't care about that. Like, I record it, so it's not like you have to watch it. It's not like you watching it on Christmas Eve is going to save it. Like,
I know,
just record
that's,
it.
That's
like,
what I was kind of thinking when they were all bitching about it. No wonder it's going off the air. I'm like, they already know what's going off the air, so it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I just have episodes of it during the hiatus than anything else, so. Sorry.
People will complain about anything.
I think some of it may be, I mean, granted, if you've got the ability to record via DVR or VCR or whatever, you can set to record. It's not like there's going to be something else on.
Which if you don't at this point in life, then...
Like, if you don't even have a VCR at this point...
You should
I
be
mean,
able to record it, because there's not going to be anything else up against it. And
You're not a true fan.
I mean, the only thing is that they haven't... The episodes aren't coming out online or what have you, so if you...
They're not airing. They're not playing them on NBC. Yes, they are.
They're online. They're just only web only. You have to look at them on the web.
Really, where are they at?
They are on
at NBC.
Well, Hulu for sure has them, but they're only on the web. You can't watch them on your computer
on demand or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I can't watch it on my iPad. I have to watch it on the web.
Interesting. Yeah. So that's prime time.
I will say briefly, sorry,
that
I enjoyed Zach Levi as a hacker.
Yes, with his Chardonnay. Oh my God. With his bottle of wine.
I could have watched him as a hacker for 3 or 4 episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was.
You know what I like?
That was really good.
So we just got done talking about how Community was bad, but I thought that they used Danny Pudi very well, yeah, just to kind of be, you know, a replacement Vic Sahay, you know, replacement Lester. But then I actually was like, oh, when Yvette Nicole Brown showed up like for 2 seconds, I thought that was cool too, because she's such a huge fan of the show. She's such a good, like, she and Zach seem to clearly have like a really good friendship off the, you know, mm-hmm, from, you know, but I thought it was funny to like see her just, who's that new guy, and like follow Abed out. So they handled it well, and we'll see what happens in the next couple episodes and if they stop being too squirrely for us. So that's prime time.
I think they need to let us in on what this big thing is.
Yes, that's what I mean by stop being squirrely.
Even if they don't totally let in Chuck and
Chuck?
Sarah,
yeah,
necessarily on it, they need to let us in on what's going on, because
yes,
it's been too,
it's annoying.
There's not even been like enough for you to try and guess, even.
Yeah, we'll see what happens, because we can't even guess because we have no idea. So we're going to talk some reality. Ray and I are not very happy with The Amazing Race. In fact, we're downright pissed, and not because like it's not because like I had a favorite. I don't care who wins, and I haven't cared who wins. Like, but Jeremy and Sandy is her name, right? And Marcus and Imani, like, they fumbled their way through every task and like, barely got through elimination, and then they're in the finale because of a taxi situation when the best racers clearly should have been Andy and Tommy, and they're eliminated. They can have 7 non-elimination legs where the old people are still there, but Andy and Tommy can't make it to the finale?
I mean, like, I actually like Marcus.
Oh, I don't dislike anybody.
Oh, no, I know. I don't like Jeremy and Sandy, but they just get on my nerves.
I'm with you.
More so than I dislike them. It's they get, like, their whininess gets on my nerves.
Because they're very whiny.
But, like, it just pisses me off that the best racers, like, because I just feel like this season, like, I guess Ernie and Cindy are pretty good, too. Like, they've, you know what I mean, always been pushing Tommy and Andy to make it to the first.
Yeah.
So at least they're there. But I really felt like the two best racers are no longer there. And it's not because they screwed up this round, because they did screw up. If they had screwed up and everybody else had figured it out, I wouldn't have had a problem with it.
Right.
It's because the thing that kills me is that even the place that was going, unless they were listening to Jeremy and Sandy's taxi driver, even that taxi driver, because Ernie and Cindy left first.
Right.
And the location they gave to him, the guy did not go there. He conferred with the other taxi drivers and went to the place Jeremy and Sandy were going. And I wasn't clear about whether they really knew from Jeremy and Sandy, or if they had been told what their correct place was. I'm not sure. Because it seemed like they had made the decision to go to that place before they even knew where they were supposed to go.
I'm with you. Yeah.
But even still, the point is that, like, even if your taxi driver knows where you're supposed to go, he shouldn't take you there. He should take you to where you said to go.
Right.
If nothing else, Ernie and Cindy should have gone to the statue of Balboa, because that's where they asked to go.
Right.
And it shouldn't have mattered that the correct place was someplace different. And I'm sure it was just a language thing, so the taxi drivers were communicating, because they're not very good at, the teams are not very good at telling the taxi drivers where they want to go. You know what I mean? So
the
drivers communicate because they're trying to understand. But even still, I felt like it really kind of ruined the final three for me, because I feel like two of those teams didn't really earn their spots. And of course, two teams would have, you know what I mean? At least one of those teams would have been in the final three anyway, so I shouldn't maybe feel that way, but I kind of do.
No, I'm with you. I mean, I'm with you 100%.
I mean, the thing that kills me is that I wouldn't have been happy, because Jeremy and Sandy had the right place and they were going to get there no matter what, and I wanted them to be eliminated, but I at least would have accepted that they figured it out, as opposed to the other two teams, which did not figure it out at all. Did Marcus and Armani even have a place in mind when they went to their taxi driver?
I think they just lucked out.
No. I mean, like, I know they lucked out, but I didn't think they even, like, had the Balboa part figured out. But maybe they did. Maybe they had said something to do with Balboa. I don't remember.
Yeah, no, I don't think that they did. I think that, I don't know. I just, I mean, we'll see who wins. Whatever. Whatever happens. I'm not invested. So I'm watching a bunch of other stuff, obviously, because I can't stay away from the reality television. Well, I won't watch reality train wrecks like Keeping Up with the Kardashians. I watch competition series. I'll establish that ahead of time. But not singing competition series unless it's the sing-off, which I stopped watching 3 episodes in. But whatever. Survivor. I'm still going to be... I'm still in coach camp. I still want him to win. I want Ozzy gone. And I really hope that Cochran surprises everybody and takes Ozzy out of the game, because that would be amazing. And I know other people agree with me. That's all I really have to say about Survivor. Except I will say this, that every time, even if I hate the people on Survivor, tears coming down my face when the family gets there. Every time. Whatever. I also want to spend a little time talking about some controversy. So America's Next Top Model. Finale was this week. I've been talking about this to everybody I talk to, even people who don't watch the show. Ray's like, yeah, I know, you told me. It was the All-Star season. You know, I watched every season. I didn't tell you this? Oh, okay. So, top 3, Angelique, who I can't stand. Oh, my God, she's so annoying. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's all I have to say about her. Lisa, who's crazy and has been on Celebrity Rehab. And Allison, who can't close her eyes because they're too big or something. I don't know. So, they're the top 3, right? And they're in. So, her eyes are huge. And then, oh, no, she can't open her eyes because they're very sensitive to light. So, like, they always take these pictures outside and she's crying. And I feel terrible for her, but she's crazy. So, the top 3 are left. They're going to do this runway in Italy where they have to, like, dive underwater and come out of it. Weirdest thing ever. So, cut to, top 3 have been there, cut to the judges' room, deliberations, and they're having a casual conversation with themselves about how, after filming Wrapped, they found out that Angelique had done something that disqualified her from the show, so they shot a second final, like a second deliberation, because the rumor has it, and I haven't been able to confirm this or anything, but it seems more likely than anything. Angelique apparently posted on her Facebook either that she was in the top 3 or she won before the season even started. Like, before it even rolled, like, we saw the premiere, she had told people that, like, oh, yeah, I'm in the top 3 or I won. So they disqualified her and picked Lisa as the winner. Controversy. Holy hell. Controversy on America's Next Top Model. I know that other people are not invested in this, but I am. And I was so glad when she was disqualified because I can't stand her. And I really wanted Lisa to win because Lisa's crazy. Girl is crazy, but in the fun way. So yeah, intrigue. And I still haven't been able to confirm exactly what happened. And I'm sure we're never going to hear it, but until somebody releases a tell-all book to get their 15 minutes back. But I'll buy it. I'll buy it. Absolutely. What else do I watch? I watch Top Chef. I really couldn't care less about anything on Top Chef this season. Ray, you're not watching the season, right?
No. What is the deal with them in Orlando?
They're not in Orlando.
Not right
They're
now.
They're in Texas.
I know they were in Texas. Somebody was coming to Orlando for something to do with Top Chef.
Jose. Oh, I don't know.
Jose, whatever. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
That I don't know. But maybe the Top Chef tour that they keep doing?
Maybe.
Anyway, yeah, it's not exciting this season. I mean, I don't care about anybody on the show. But there's still a lot of people left, so I'm sure I'll get invested later. But otherwise, that's reality for me this week. I don't think there's anything else I'm watching. Anyway, that was a quick show today, everybody.
Yeah, just jumping back to the Chuck episodes online. They're not online.
Oh.
At all? Because I swear I watched them.
Maybe they had been?
They've had different episodes on, or they had the premiere episode out on Hulu, and they've had some other ones, maybe occasionally, but they've never been able to figure out the rights for this last season to be able to air them. You can't download them at iTunes. You can't download them at Amazon. So there's been that's some
Maybe
of the people's the problem with when something airs is that right now that's your only shot at watching them is.
Yes, and our counter argument is get a DVR or a VCR.
That's what I'm saying. But that's all I was just saying is there's.
No,
that,
I know.
That's why you should have some ability to record the episode even if it's on a night that there's normally not any new.
I don't know. Set your iPad up in front of your TV, push record on the video button, and just watch it from your iPad also, later.
Some of the people complaining about it were Jewish, okay?
No, to be fair, that is. Hanukkah is running with Christmas this year.
It's not a big deal, though.
I don't know why I think that's so funny, but it is. Anyway. Anyway.
Upset.
So that's our show for the day.
For the record, I have been watching the awkward marathon on Logo all day. Well, all afternoon, really.
Okay.
It's just reminding me of how much I love the show.
That's awesome. Love Awkward so much. It's so good. It's so good, you people. So good.
Speaking of shows you should record and watch.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, if you don't have a VCR, if you don't have a VCR, I will pick one up for you, the $5 bin. I'll send it to you. Okay. You know what? This brings me to my next point.
Okay, wait. That offer, that's good for up to how many people?
Two. No, here's the thing.
So both people that listen, you have the opportunity.
Kyle and Patty, if you don't have a VCR, I'll send it to you.
$5 VCR.
Here's the thing. I was thinking about Black Friday. I was looking online on Amazon. They had like the Black Friday deals. There was a deal for like 8 VHS tapes for like $2. I thought to myself, are people still buying VHS tapes? I have cousins who don't know what that means. Anyway, this got off track. Go figure. So yeah, our music today is provided by IODA Promonet. The song is TV Party by the Asylum Street Spankers from their Mercurial title. Nope. Yes.
Yes.
From their Mercurial title, put out by Yellow Dog Records. I had to.
Unbelievable.
Did I ever tell you guys the peanut butter story? This is unrelated, but it just made me think of that because I was like, yes, no, yes.
This seems like the perfect episode for that.
It does. So it is related because it's about my sister who we started talking about her birthday. So we're sitting at lunch one day. We work together. And it was me and my sister and my friend Max. And we're sitting there and she looked at us and said, does Wawa sell peanut butter? And before we had a chance to answer, she's like, no, they don't. And Max and I about to start. And she's like, wait, maybe they do. Max and I about to say again. She's like, yep, they do. They do. I'm going to go. And I was like, this all happened in the span of a minute. Like, does Wawa sell peanut butter? No. Well, maybe they do. Yeah, I'm going to go pick some up. And I was like, oh my God, we still bring it up all the time. But that reminded me because I was like, yes, no, yes, no. That happens to me a lot. Anyway.
Is this
Call your girlfriend. Huh?
Is this the last episode of the year for you guys?
One more.
I have no idea.
One more?
One more episode. Next week.
Well, I'll say it. Happy holidays, because yes. I won't be on the next time.
Happy holidays. Happy holidays.
Yeah, one more episode. Emma Loggins from FanBolt.
Emma. Okay. We all know Emma.
Probably do a little winter preview.
Cool. Cool, cool. Cool, cool, cool. All right. Yeah, Chuck on Christmas Eve. Okay. It's come full circle.
We're Jewish.
All right. I gotta go because I gotta pick my grandma up for dinner. That should be fun.
Enjoy your meatballs.
Thank you.
I will. That was mentioned on the air, whatever. Sounds good anyway.
Enjoy your meatballs. You too. All right.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
We sit glued to the TV set all night
and every night.
Why go into the outside world at all?
Such a fright.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of brews.